section86.com. We're changing the world of podcasting one show at a time.
Lots of title changes, TNA holds a Gold Rush tournament, and a major superstar is injured. All this and much, much more on this week's Off the Mark.
This is TNA Impact referee Brian Hebner, and you're listening to Off the Mark.
86 Productions.
Episode of Off the Mark. We are the podcast that provides the most in-depth insight and analysis into the world of professional wrestling. I am Andrew. He is Aaron. Let's get right into the news. So Roman Reigns is out of action. So what happened with this, Aaron?
Yeah, so he actually had a hernia, and it wasn't just a normal one. It apparently was one that was actually really bad. And so what that means is that he's going to be out of action for a while. And before we kind of get into, you know, when he might return and everything, I got to ask you. Obviously we don't wish an injury upon anybody, but who is the most likely to benefit from this? Like, is there any superstar or group of superstars you think that will?
You know, this might be the time to bring someone up, but if I had to pick one person that could shine because of this, I would see Dolph Ziggler. Dolph Ziggler, I believe, that could actually shine out of this. But if you look at it from a different aspect, Adam Rose has been kind of hot lately because of the whole bunny thing. So, and now the bunny thing, I can talk, there's two different theories now. One, I kind of believe, but then no matter how you look at it, it could be the other guy too. So anyways, but well, going back to Roman Reigns, the fact that he had the hernia, his hernia was different than some hernias. They can be healed pretty fast, but his is a little bit different. And he's actually going to have to watch how he wrestles from now on because of this hernia. I wouldn't be surprised if he stops doing the spear, because that might be something.
I don't think that's gonna impact him. But you mentioned Ziggler could benefit. Why Ziggler though? That's what I'm kind of curious about. Why do you think Ziggler would benefit?
Because he's been known to be injury prone, but he hasn't been at all. He doesn't have the concussion issues like he was having for a while there, because it seemed like he had a concussion. He passed the impact test, came back, got another one. Well, he's doing the same stuff. He hasn't changed his style at all, and he doesn't have any more concussions. They put the title on him. You know, I believe that he could benefit from this. But also, I'm enjoying The Miz and Damian Mizdow as well. I think that is just the funniest thing ever. Even on Main Event this week, it made me laugh.
And we'll talk about them in a little bit. But I disagree with you. I think the person that's going to benefit the most is going to be Ambrose. And the reason I think that is because Ambrose is now going to be one of the top faces for WWE. And don't get me wrong. I think that Ziggler is obviously a big talent, and he might benefit in an indirect way because of the Intercontinental title. But I think that Ambrose is going to get really thrusted into that Roman Reigns role, where he's fighting the Authority, he's fighting Seth Rollins, and he's going to be, you know, kind of in a way almost teaming with Cena. So I think that he's going to be the one that's going to benefit the most. But Andy, when do you think that they are going to see Roman Reigns back?
I'm going to guess Royal Rumble. I think that would be a safe bet, because his hernia is really weird. He could be technically back in 8 weeks, but after seeing some reports on what other people, especially this is really people in shape, apparently it takes a little bit longer because there's so much muscle, I guess, in their abdomen from everything that I've read, that it could take him actually up to 12 weeks before he's actually ready to start wrestling again. You know, I would say, you know, hold your cards maybe until December, you know, because you have other guys coming back and you have to stagger it. And Roman Reigns would be the guy to come back at Royal Rumble. If you want to put the strap on him where he wins the title shot at Royal, you know, at the Royal Rumble, he wins the Royal Rumble. I think you just have him come back then, because he's going to be so hot.
Yeah. He could definitely be a really big surprise entrant, you know, in the same way Cena was, was it like 5-6 years ago. You know, you could have something along those lines. So yeah, I totally agree with you there. The one thing, though, so he comes back during Royal Rumble. There's also talks now, of course, Brian, who was injured. They're talking about bringing him back around the same time. So he would be back for WrestleMania season, as would Batista. Do you think having three pretty big names for WWE come back that soon? Do you think that that would hurt it at all? Or do you think it would just say, oh, hey, guys, WrestleMania is going to be really big this year?
It depends on how you look at it. I mean, I guess Batista was promised the strap at one point. This might be the time where you put the strap on him for a few months. I wouldn't be surprised if he comes back and beats Brock Lesnar. Mm-hmm. Just have him come back, beat Brock Lesnar, and then, you know, he could actually come back as soon as Hell in the Cell, which would be kind of intriguing.
Batista?
Batista. He could, but the way it looks, he may not come back. He may be done. Yeah. So who knows with that? I mean, it'd be kind of cool to have him come back, win it, Hell in the Cell, and then Cena. Then you get rid of Brock Lesnar for a little bit, and you have Cena say that I never got my fair shot, blah blah blah, and then he could wrestle Batista for a few months, and then you can have Daniel Bryan come back, wrestle him, or there's a lot of possibilities with that.
There is. I don't think that we're going to even see Lesnar, though, drop the title until WrestleMania, in my opinion. And I don't even think we're going to see him wrestle at Hell in a Cell. I think Hell in a Cell is actually going to be a pay-per-view to set up Survivor Series. I don't think we're going to see the WWE World Heavyweight Championship defended there, to be honest.
I think that's a mistake, then. I think it's a complete mistake.
Don't get me wrong. I think that every pay-per-view, you know, the main attraction is the main title. But honestly, I don't think that we're going to see it defended there.
Yeah, I guess we'll have to definitely wait and see on that. But I'm more excited about seeing when Daniel Bryan's going to come back, because I kind of miss him. And I'm wondering if he's still going to be over like he was, because I believe that his jets might have, like, some of his jets might have been cooled. That's what I'm worried about.
Because of his injury.
Because he was so hot. Finally, he gets the titles and then he has to be stripped of them. So it's kind of sad.
I do think that his jets have been cool a little bit, but I think it might have been a blessing in disguise, because I think that there were some people who were kind of getting a little tired of him, you know, and not necessarily him in general, but the storylines they were putting him in. You know, he was fighting Kane. That was the main attraction. He was fighting Kane. Like, who cares? Like, that was not a good storyline that they had set up. He should have been taking on, honestly, probably Triple H. He should have taken on Triple H at the Extreme Rules. That's what it should have been. But instead, they came. So I think that when he comes back, if you interject him into a good storyline, then the fans are going to care, and then his jets will get hot again. So that's what I think they need to do.
So do you think that it would have been better if CM Punk did stay and then Daniel Bryan never got the title? But then Daniel Bryan would have missed out on that WrestleMania moment.
No.
Two WrestleMania moments.
CM Punk stays. He wrestles Triple H at the pay-per-view, and he beats Triple H. Daniel Bryan just wrestles, for the title. Could be the three-way. That's fine. He wrestles that three-way, and then he wins the title. That's totally fine. In fact, if anything else, that's actually a better WrestleMania, in my opinion. If CM Punk is still there, CM Punk then is now interjected into the World Heavyweight title picture. And I think that's actually a better thing. But that's, of course, you know, ifs and buts. So anyway, Andy, speaking of actually crazy people, let's talk about Ambrose. So he made a surprise return at the pay-per-view, and he's back. He's ready to get nuts. Do you like seeing Ambrose back?
I thought it was intriguing that he came back, because, of course, Seth Rollins wanted the 1-2-3 or the 10 count for the forfeit. And then he said, I'll challenge anyone. It doesn't matter who it is. And I'm like, Dean Ambrose.
Well, yeah, of course.
And of course, here's the funny part, just to make you laugh. Since I keep having trouble, I don't have trouble with my streams all the time, but this one, there's three times it did it. This is one of the times. The cab pulls up, and all I see is the back of Dean Ambrose all of a sudden. I don't see like him coming out of the cab. It skips like 4 seconds, because then all of a sudden his music kicks on, and I'm like, and he's walking out to the front. I was like, oh, interesting. But here's my other problem with that when he came back, is that the fact his entrance, his music kicked down. Okay, if the Authority was so upset about it and they heard the music kick on, why would they just go out there right away? Why did they wait for Rollins to get his butt kicked?
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to figure out, why would you do that?
Yeah, you know, it was kind of weird. I really didn't understand what they were going with, because if anything else, yeah, you have the 10 count. Ambrose could have came out during the 10 count. Ambrose could have came out almost immediately thereafter. Instead, they have the, you know, they have the taxi show up. I think actually it would have been a bigger pop for him to just come out of the curtain. And then the moment everybody sees Ambrose, they would have gone nuts. But to see him come out of the cab, I think you actually kind of missed an opportunity here. Don't get me wrong. It was still a very cool moment. And Ambrose is crazy over. He is, like Brian Pillman was really over back in the day. And they had a really great storyline going on with him and Stone Cold, which really helped elevate Stone Cold. And I think it actually could have elevated Brian Pillman if he was still with us today. I think right here you have an opportunity. And I think that they're actually going with it. Seth Rollins is really hated, and it's really helping him out. And Dean Ambrose is really liked, and it's helping him out. And this is still the most interesting feud WWE has going right now. It is the one that I go, you know what? For the pay-per-view, I will buy it for that. That's what it's saying to me.
You know what I think missed out, though, on here? I almost wish that like someone like Kofi Kingston came out, and he saw Kingston comes out, does his thing, and then all of a sudden he sees Ambrose, and he backs away. Like, okay, this is your fight.
No, because that takes away the impact that Ambrose would have. So I wouldn't have even had anybody else in there. I think that was Ambrose's moment. You just leave it with him. But either way, I mean, I was pretty happy about that. But what's interesting, too, though, is that so on Raw, we had Ambrose come out and then says, I'm sitting in until I get Rollins. And then Cena comes out and then there's a little bit of friction there. And then we have Rollins interjected in there. The whole thing with Cena, Lesnar, and Rollins. There's actually some interweaving storylines here, which I'm actually really in favor of. Which one do you want to tackle first?
I like the Rollins Lesnar storyline.
No, Rollins Lesnar and Cena one.
Well, not really, because I think it's just their storyline. Because remember, Lesnar was. You know, of course, Rollins got Cena disqualified, which I thought was really interesting. And then he comes out and curb stomps, if I'm correct, Brock Lesnar. He wants to cash in and gets in there. Then Cena causes him to lose it. I think what would have been better is they rang the bell and then Cena then gets in the ring and makes it so he gets disqualified as well.
But they want to actually have Seth Rollins hold the Money in the Bank briefcase. He'll cash it in eventually, obviously. You know, I think it'll be after WrestleMania still. But he's going to cash it in, and it's going to be a big deal. So I think that it's actually okay for him to not lose it.
All right. Well, then what about Cena and Ambrose? I mean, are they going to feud?
I thought was actually kind of cool, the little moment they had on Raw. I was actually a little intrigued by it. The only thing is, though, whoever Cena touches, it seems that they kind of fall in the crapper. You know, like anybody that he's associated with tends to kind of fall off. And I really don't want to have that happen to Ambrose, because I think Ambrose is a shooting star right now for WWE. And it's somebody that they desperately need, because right now they don't have a whole lot of star power.
Well, they could, but they kind of stopped developing guys the way I look at it. But, you know, that's just me. But here's one thing I don't understand about, even though they had those storylines. The other storyline that's going on, of course, we touched on a little bit earlier, was Dolph Ziggler and The Miz, and also Damian Mizdow. Mm-hmm. Now, the fact that Ziggler lost the title at pay-per-view, but then wins it back the following night, why do you think they did that?
You know, they did this, I want to say, maybe it was with the U.S. title. No, it was with the IC title. They did it like maybe a year ago, in fact, where they had the person lose it and win it immediately. And it's like, I don't mind having title changes that are just sporadic like that. But the next day title changes, first of all, I hate next day title shots. I think those are the dumbest in the world. It's like, hey, I just wrestled you last night. I want to wrestle you 24 hours later. Let's do this, you know, on free TV, no less. I absolutely hate those. I really do. And to have him win, I understand what they're trying to say. They're trying to say, you know what? You could win the title. It's possible. You know, you could win the title after 24 hours. But I don't think that there's a need for this. I don't think that it made it intriguing. I don't think that it made me go, oh, wow, Ziggler is smart. He was able to do the same thing Miz did the night before. I don't think it actually helps the storyline at all. In fact, what I would have much rather seen is have Ziggler win on Night of Champions, and then Miz say, you know what, have him win like in a dubious way, you know, like where Miz actually got his foot on the ropes, or maybe Ziggler got a handful of tights or something, you know, and then Miz has a legitimate complaint. Then he wrestles him on Raw, and Sandow interferes to help Miz win. I'd be much more okay with that, and then have Ziggler win it back at the next pay-per-view. You know, that's okay. You can do that. Next day, though, I think is a really big mistake.
Now, it was interesting, though, on Main Event, Miz pointed out that the only reason Dolph won is because he held the tights. Mm-hmm. But Ambrose, I thought, came back with something funny. He goes, well, that's how you want it, right? Because if you remember, Dolph Ziggler literally had Full Moon hanging out.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Luckily, they didn't show anything. But yeah, they did that. And, you know, I understood the symbolism why they had Ziggler win that way, which is totally fine. But like I said, I mean, I would have done it a little bit different. Although I got to say, I'm actually enjoying the storyline, though.
Hey, just out of curiosity, did you watch the new Monday Night War thing they put out this week?
Not yet.
I'll tell you the truth, dude. It made me sick. Because
it was the ECW one, right?
Right. They pointed out pretty much that ECW, in a way, they basically let ECW know, like, oh, by the way, the only reason why we had the Attitude Era was because of you guys. And then we bought you guys. It's pretty much how it ended. But none of it talks about the positive stuff WCW did, even though I will say the thing with Bret Hart was interesting because he said that he went there and they didn't know what they were doing. They had him come out and ref. They waited so long before he came out. Why not have him come out the following Nitro? You know, Hart made a valid point. He's like, that's what I should have done. And then instead they wait till, I think, December, you know, a full month later before he comes out and he's going to debut as a ref.
Yeah, no, I agree. For what Bret Hart wanted, if you haven't come out the following night right after the screw job, I mean, are you kidding? The ratings you would have gotten off that would have been insane. Anyone who was watching WWF at the time would have been like, oh, wow, I'm going to watch WCW now to see the continuation of this. And then we get to see Bret Hart talk about what happened. Or, you know, he'd say, you know what, I'm not going to get screwed here. Or, you know, he would say, I'm here to eradicate the NWO. Like, you know, something would have happened to, you know, that would have been better. But that's neither here nor there.
Do you think that the Montreal Screwdrop was actually a work?
No. No, I do not.
Not even close? You think that it was complete? Because no. I thought it was interesting, Wrestling with Shadows. They were planning that. And then all of a sudden, he's like, hey, I might go to WCW now. You know?
I think it was 100%. True. I don't think that there was any work shoot involved. Andy, I wanted to ask you one last thing, though, before we go to break. The bunny. So it sounds like you find this incredibly entertaining.
Well, because the bunny was someone else. And then some people said it was Zack Ryder, which there was some belief just because of the way the guy was walking that it was him at one point. And then they said that it was Sami Zayn, and then now there's reports that it could be Justin Gabriel. Well, some guy actually put together a thing where it shows them on the top rope and then also their kick. Well, the ironic thing is Sami Zayn and Justin Gabriel kick the same way. They do this weird thing with their arms when they go for their kick. They both do it that way. And the other thing is when on the top rope.
So, but hold on.
Okay.
Here's the thing. I bet you at some point in time Zack Ryder was the bunny. And I bet you anything else that Justin Gabriel has played the bunny. You don't think that they swap people out? Do you think it's always been one person every single time?
I think this last one that was on Raw, I think was Justin Gabriel. I believe the previous few weeks was Sami Zayn because of the way that he would get in and out of the ring. And the way he'd walk, that looked exactly like Sami Zayn. But then you can make an argument with this, at least this last week, that it could have been Justin Gabriel because of the way he gets on the top rope and the way he takes a bump. But also, Justin Gabriel, when he would take the bump and he would get up, he'd be like, oh, like he would be hurting. The bunny, the guy who was playing the bunny the previous week, that had to have been Sami Zayn, because Sami Zayn does the exact same thing, and Justin Gabriel does something completely different.
So, I think that they swap the people out, Andy. They have to swap the people out. It's whoever is available at the time, you know. And I'm sure that Sami Zayn at one point in time was that. I don't think that they would reveal it to be Justin Gabriel, because honestly, I don't think that that's going to help him out at all. I don't think that's going to increase his value. What, they're going to team Justin Gabriel with Adam Rose? I mean, really? Like, that's not going to be – that's not going to help either of them out, you know. But – if you have it, and personally, I actually like the idea of it being Darren Young. I think that was a much better choice.
That is a better choice,
because yes. Darren Young and Titus O'Neil have beef. And so you have that beat Darren Young. Darren Young then can go and get his revenge on Titus O'Neil. Obviously, we know, I mean, we saw his skin was white, so it's not going to be Darren Young. Or, I mean, I guess it could be, you know, just because his skin was white this one time. We know that it wasn't Darren Young this past week, though. But I actually find it entertaining. It sounds like you do, too.
I just find it intriguing because I'm wondering who's under the suit, mm-hmm. is what I'm more curious about.
You know what the bunny really likes, Andy, though? The bunny likes our sponsor.
Yes, HostGator. Are you a blogger or podcaster, or you're just not happy with your web host? You need to check out HostGator.com. You're going to find web hosting made easy and affordable. HostGator offers unlimited disk space, unlimited bandwidth, one-click script installs a free site builder, and hands down the best control panel out there. Stop by today and try a free demo to see how easy it is. And if you use a special coupon code, OffTheMark, you're going to save 25% off your web hosting packages. So what do you got to lose? Check out HostGator.com and take a bite out of your web hosting costs. Also, make sure you check out Section 86's Off The Mark page and click on the banner at the top to say big on items from WWEShop.com. And nothing that Alex Riley says, no matter what the discount is, ours is better. So let's move on to Impact Wrestling for this week. So TNA held a Gold Rush tournament. So what is this, Aaron?
So Gold Rush tournament was they had 10 people wrestle in singles matches, and of course 5 people then would advance, and they would have a shot then to wrestle, and whoever wins that will get to choose the title that they want for the following week. And so you had, actually, it was pretty decent. I liked the matches that they held. The only downside was the vast majority of them. The thing I don't like about these tournament matches is when you see the people go in and you're like, I already know who won. I already know who's going to win this. And that's what I like, having that. I don't know what's going to happen here. I actually like those. The two matches were Magnus and Anderson. I pretty much knew Anderson was going to win, but it was still, Magnus could win this. And then Austin Aries and Nux. I was a little surprised Aries was able to squeak out that win. But then at the end of this show, actually, Aries won it all. So next week, he gets to pick which title he's going to go for. And, you know, obviously this was taped really far in advance. I actually don't remember, because I've, the spoilers were, so long ago. But I could see him going for the X Division title here. He already wrestled for the World Heavyweight. But is there a reason why you would go for one title and not the other?
Well, he could wrestle for the TV title because no one holds it.
Yeah, that's true.
True. Abyss was the last, or Divine?
Was the final one.
Abyss was. Okay, there we go. But I'm pretty sure he'll go for the X Division title because it's Samoa Joe. So you'd have Austin Aries versus Samoa Joe. Mm-hmm. Or you could have Austin Aries versus Bobby Lashley. So you got to decide, who do you think you can beat is what it boils down to. And I believe that he probably goes for the World Heavyweight title. But if I had to pick it, I would want him to go against Samoa Joe because it's going to be an awesome match.
Well, and I think, too, you go for the world title. Obviously, if you look at this kayfabe, why wouldn't you go for the world title? That's the main one. That's what you would go for. But I think that you have an opportunity here, though, to really make the X Division title mean something. Saying, hey, you know what? This is the title I'm going for, because this is a title that is very prestigious and important. And the person holding it, I think, is actually on par with the world heavyweight champion.
That is true. The one thing I never understood these type of matches, why they do it, but whatever.
Well, I think that helps build some prestige, because you have all of these people. You have really 10 people who are going to try to make that one title run. So these 10 people get dwindled to 5, get dwindled down to 1. So I think that's why it makes it pretty. Same with TNA, Andy. You heard that they're going to be announcing their new TV station soon, right? Their new provider.
Yeah, who they said what WGN America, Velocity, maybe CMT, and there's another one.
Yeah. What do you, where do you think it'll end up?
I don't know. Because they have to make as much money as they were with Spike just to stay afloat. And if they go anywhere else, if they take, if they even take a 20% pay cut, they're losing money for the this agency that went after to find them a new TV station. They're going to get hurt because of that. So they're going to lose more money. So unless they take basically whatever they're making plus I think it's like 20%, they're screwed.
Yeah, but they can make cuts though too.
How many more cuts can you make?
As many as needed. I mean, all you, you're going to have to cut the people that are at the very top who are making the most money. And that's who you have to get rid of.
So you're going to let basically any draw that you have, you're going to let them go. Is pretty much what they're going to have to do.
True. And don't get me wrong. Obviously, there are certain people that you look at. You're like, look, I think it'd be a mistake to let them go. Like Bobby Roode. AJ Styles was obviously a mistake, in my opinion. Letting Kurt Angle go or Mr. Anderson. These are people that probably would be cut. But then they'd have to build it around the younger people. They'd have to build it around the other talent that are there who aren't getting paid nearly as much. So,
but what would you want to see that, though? That's the thing. Why? I mean, if you came in there just to see Kurt Angle and then you get stuck seeing some guys you don't know, mm-hmm. how many people who are just a casual wrestling fan are going to stick around?
Not yeah, many. But John, the thing is, John Cena was nobody 15 years ago.
But the thing is, they kept pushing him and pushing him and pushing him, and they developed him into something. How many mm-hmm. how many casual wrestling fans, when they first saw John Cena go against Kurt Angle, they were just like, yeah, I'm going to stick around and watch this guy win or lose. They probably just said, screw it, you know, if they're a casual wrestling fan. But if you, okay, let's go to, let's say you have Samoa Joe versus, I don't know, the next John Cena, and they're wrestling. What's this? How many casual wrestling fans are going to stick around and watch that? You're not. You're just going to have the same wrestling fans that watch that show. And, you know, but, if you're saying that you're only getting a third of the WWE audience watching TNA, that's kind of sad because you should get at least 50% of them, and you're not.
But here's the thing. What if you have compelling storylines? What if the storylines you are putting out are better than WWE's? And it doesn't matter the wrestlers you have there. Let's just say that the wrestlers are good enough. They're not really good names. You know, they're not household names that people know. But let's just say that they're good enough to get to make the storylines actually believable, compelling, and something that people want to see. And they say, you know what, this guy right here, this bad guy, I want to see him get his butt kicked. And I want to see this good guy who, you know, I've seen for the past, you know, month or two get the crap kicked out of him. I want to see him win. I mean, but you don't think that there's...
But the thing is, how many casual wrestling fans are going to actually invest that time in there? What if, you know, with Wednesday now, on Wednesday, they just had a bunch of new shows premiere on ABC and NBC. I don't know about CBS, but at least NBC and ABC they did. Mm-hmm. If you were, if you had a choice of either watching, Modern Family or Law and Order SVU or watch Impact Wrestling, how many people are going to go with something they know opposed to something that they're not sure of? They're going to probably go with something that the premieres of. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if the Impact ratings were horrible for on Wednesday. But, you know, it takes a lot. I mean, here's the thing also. The WWE had better storylines than WCW at one point, and that's why they started becoming successful. But they also had the shock value, too. They stole stuff from ECW, like I was saying earlier. They stole stuff from ECW and put it on there so they got that wrestling fan to watch as well. You need something to get either an ECW wrestling fan to watch, or you need something to have someone be like, hey, I'm going to stick around because I heard that Val Venus or The Godfather are going to be on here at the 10 p.m. Mark. So I'm going to have to watch it because of that. You need mm-hmm. something like that. And right now, TNA basically is a poor man's WWE show. And that's actually being nice about it. I think the one that could compete against the WWE, but they're not, is Ring of Honor. Because
because it's not a good wrestling promotion.
I'm not saying it's a great promotion, but it gives me an alternative because it's fast paced. See, TNA, they're still slow, and then they may have a couple sparks here and there, but you know, Ring of Honor, they're pretty, everything's pretty fast paced.
They're the thing is, it's not real wrestling over there, though. It's move after move after move. It's like high spot after high spot after high spot. Hey, remember how I did my finisher to you? You're not even selling it anymore. You got back up immediately, so I have to hit you with another one. And it's like that's the thing about Ring of Honor that I realized is that while I enjoy watching it because it's different, if I had to choose, and you told me WWE, TNA, and Ring of Honor, you have to choose two, I wouldn't choose Ring of Honor. Ring of Honor would not be my choice.
I can't believe you'd actually say TNA.
I would say TNA because I think that TNA has better wrestling than WWE. I think that the people in TNA put on way better product. WWE does the big fight feel really well. They do. I mean, when it's a pay-per-view time, it's WWE pay-per-view, TNA regular show, maybe Ring of Honor, and then Raw at the very bottom of SmackDown, you know, and then main event is in hell. So that's where it's
number one.
NXT would be above Ring of Honor, so, but it wouldn't be above TNA.
What?
Yeah, I think TNA. I think the wrestlers on TNA put on they realized that they had to put on a good show, and so they do. And Ring of Honor, while watching that, I enjoy it. It's not something that I go, oh man, I cannot wait to watch Ring of Honor tonight. It's more like, oh, this is cool. You know, this is different. It's something new and refreshing. But Ring of Honor is just finisher spam and no selling. That's the biggest problem with Ring of Honor.
They don't allow them to continue the sell like you've grown accustomed to in the WWE. But remember, ECW at one point, it was just like that, except it was violent. And and Ring of Honor is more, I can do this corkscrew triple shooting star press through seven tables. Oh, I guess that not that many, but it's basically they try to outdo a certain move that someone would do, like with Adrian Neville. They're trying to do other moves like that, like they, what is it, the 720 splash or whatever it is, where I can't even think of who has it. Gosh, I'm way too sick. But anyways, yeah, if I, you know, each TNA needs to have something to show that they're different. The six-sided ring, they should have kept that from day one, but they should have had something to make them stand out. Either have one hardcore match at the 10 o'clock hour, or have something, you know, some alternative. I mean, they did.
Well, they did with Abyss.
But the
Abyss
thing is,
and Bram will do
but
those.
But they did, and then they stopped. It hasn't.
They did that recent. They did that like a week or two ago.
No, they did it like 3 or 4 weeks ago, where they had the two matches back. They had a one match, and then 2 weeks later they had another match, and then that's it. They haven't done them since. I mean, people want to see that stuff, and if you're basically at the old ECW arena, they want to see that.
And they do put those matches on every now and then. What I'm saying though is that I think that TNA, obviously they have a lot of growing they need to do. They really need to up their game. That's for sure. And I think that TNA, they have some of the pieces to the puzzle. I think they've lost some pieces too, but they do have some of the pieces. And if they get better storylines that make people go, ooh, WWE is kind of cool, but it's kind of the same thing over and over again. But over here, this thing called TNA, like these storylines are actually really interesting. And I think that's what they really need to focus on.
All right. We'll agree to disagree. Anyway, so that's all the time we have for this week's show. If you're into the Twitter, you can follow the show at AuthorMark86. I want to thank 86 Productions for hosting and editing the podcast, and I want to thank all of our listeners for taking the time to download and listen to the show. And for Aaron Hughes, I am Andrew Hughes, and until next time, we'll see you in the ring.